me to John 16. We will get there in a few moments. Amen. Well, tonight in our prayer series that will continue, we've been talking about important things that we need to know and understand about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or that just simply means being filled with the Holy Spirit. How many know the baptism of the Holy Spirit? When you hear the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit, they are the same thing. The Scripture teaches they're one and the same. So we've been talking about things in this prayer series that we need to know and understand about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. And something that we need to understand is that just as God's will for every lost sinner to receive Jesus Christ and be saved, it is also God's will for every one of His children to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, as believers, we all, I'm going to say it again, we all really, if we've been taught the Word of God, we know it's not God's will for any to perish. We know it's God's will for every lost person to be saved. Well, just as much as it's God's will for every lost person to be saved, it is His will for every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For Christ is the Father's gift to the world, but the Holy Spirit is the Father's gift to His church. Amen. So it's important. We've been looking at these things. And if we'll look at John 16, verse 7 tonight, this will be reiterated here simply where the words of Jesus, He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient," that means necessary, "for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." How many know the Comforter was the Holy Spirit? In particular, He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming to fill the believer, to empower them to continue the work and ministry of Jesus Christ. Of course, that same Holy Spirit was sent to convict every lost sinner of their need of Christ. So it's the same Holy Spirit, it's a dual working. But the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us as believers and then come upon us to fill us, to make us able ministers of a better covenant. Amen. We see this again in Acts chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 8. These are the words of Jesus talking to His disciples who He wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And He says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." Everybody say, "The promise of the Father." And now He's about to tell us what the promise of the Father, who the promise of the Father is. We all know it's the Holy Spirit. The next verse concurs that. It says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit," excuse me, "not many days hence." And then verse 8 tells us the reason why. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Everybody say power. The Holy Spirit's infilling is for power. Power to not only live this Christian life accurately, but also it's also for power to be the witness that God called His church to be. Amen. Praise God. To tell of the great things that Jesus has done, to show by word and deed, life, a life lived by God or for God, of what God has done for them. And then we see this baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when it was given, the promise of the Father on the day of Pentecost. We'll read again in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. "I know you know these things, but it's good to be reminded of them because you'll be teaching others how to receive from God." And it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And there suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as on fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the believers being filled and speaking with other tongues. Praise God. And so what we found clearly taught in the Scriptures that upon being filled with the Spirit, the believer will speak in other tongues because it is the initial evidence of being filled. I showed you last week, we went through three different portions of Scripture in the book of Acts, and all three instances when the believers were filled, they spoke with other tongues. It was the initial evidence. There are two other examples of that, and we can prove by the Scriptures as well that they spoke with other tongues as the initial evidence. It's important. So here's the point. The Holy Spirit isn't tongues, but tongues are important because it's a gift the Holy Spirit gives upon being filled with the Spirit. It's important. The Holy Spirit isn't tongues, but it's a gift the Holy Spirit gives. And write this down. According to Luke chapter 11, and we looked at this before, we won't turn there for time's sake tonight. In the Amplified Translation, Jesus called the Holy Spirit and this gift of being filled with the Holy Spirit and the gifts the Holy Spirit gives as gifts to our advantage. So if it's a gift to our advantage, then how many know it would be to our advantage that we have it? How many know it's God's will for us to have it? Amen. So last week, what we began talking about is actually understanding tongues. Everybody say understanding tongues. Now here's something that we need to notice. That notice how tongues are in plural. In other words, has an S on the end. That means there's more than one kind or they're different kinds. This is where the body of Christ has gotten off at many times, or many times, even in the body of Christ, people do not understand tongues because they don't understand the kinds of tongues the Scripture teaches and haven't been scripturally taught concerning them. So the Scriptures teach three kinds of tongues, and that's tonight's message titled The Three Kinds of Tongue. Now, if you were here last week, you know that we began to talk about them, and what we want to do is put up the three kinds of tongues again. The three kinds of tongues that the Scriptures teach us. Everybody say, the Scriptures teach us. This is important. Number one, tongues unto God. Number two, tongues unto men. And number three, tongues unto the church. All three tongues are supernatural. Now let's put up this next slide. All tongues are the same in essence because it's the Holy Spirit giving the utterance in every case, but they are different in purpose and use. And so the reason why we teach it on this is so that not only can we know the kinds, the three kinds that the Scripture teach, there's only three kinds, have different purposes and uses, and that's what we're exploring. So last week we started with the tongues unto God, and that's as far as we got. Now, what I'd like to do, because this tongue is so important, all of them are important because they're given by the Holy Spirit. However, this tongue every believer will receive upon being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. This tongue is so important because every believer will receive this tongue upon being filled. This tongue is a private devotional gift enabling the believer to supernaturally fellowship and communicate with God in prayer. It is a deeper dimension of prayer, and it is something that God does not want us to do without. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Upon being filled, every believer will be enabled to speak with other tongues, as it is the initial evidence. And this tongue is a devotional gift. It helps us in our fellowship and communication with God, especially in prayer. Not just in prayer, but in prayer, enabling us to have a experience a deeper dimension of God. Now, we talked about some of these things last week, and I'm going to mention this really briefly, but in next week, when we come back together, we're going to look at 10 benefits of speaking in other tongues and why every believer needs to understand the benefits of that. You know, benefits are for our benefit, amen, for a purpose. God didn't give them just to make us look good or feel good. They have purpose, and they actually help us. They're beneficial to our lives. So we'll look at those benefits next week. But tonight I want to remind you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, explains this tongue unto God. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Notice, unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries or divine secrets. So this is a supernatural prayer enablement, or we could call it a prayer language, in an unknown tongue, because it's unknown to its speaker. And you say, well, is that necessary? It must be, because God gave it. And in doing this, it says that you're not speaking to yourself. You're speaking to God, and you're praying out divine mysteries. And that means you are able to pray out the perfect will of God. We'll talk more about that next week. In its simplest sense, this tongue gives us the ability to supernaturally pray, but to also be edified spiritually. We found out last week also to worship God in song and in the giving of thanks. All these things that this private devotional side enables us, and we're benefited from it in a personal walk with God. How many know that, most of the time we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit for power, like it says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. And that is true. But let me tell you how it's supposed to work. Everything flows out of your relationship with God. Everything that's beneficial for you and others will always flow out of your relationship with God. And so through this enablement to pray of the secrets, divine mysteries, even build yourself up spiritually, as we mentioned last week, this supernatural prayer language enables you to better know God and better know His will. It not only strengthens you and helps you in this devotional tool of prayer, enabling you to pray the perfect will of God from that place. If you're strengthened in that place, then you will have an overflow. For those that are filled will spill. If you're filled, you'll spill. Praise God. And so we're to be filled, to spill. But it all begins with our walk with God deepening. And I can tell you, the Holy Spirit will take us in this deeper dimension. And one place of it is in prayer. And so that we know God better. We hear His voice better. How many know that in every day, the best things will happen because we take time to spend time with God, hear from God, and then just obey God. Be open to God where we go. Praise God. And then when God prompts us, and through our fellowship with God, we learn His voice through His word and through His spirit, His promptings, His leadings, how He will deal with us. Over time, we learn all those things. But these things will work the best when, through our private devotional time, we have gotten closer and deeper and more intimate with God in through prayer and through fellowship with God. And then from that place, we will be able to operate in the power of God better, because it's not about us any longer. How many know that some things God got to, put in, some things God got to get out? And this is why John the Baptist said in John chapter 3, he said, I must decrease, but Christ must increase. You know, he's got to get up. When I say us, I'm talking about, let me qualify that. He's got to get wrong thinking out. He's got to get the flesh out of the way. Praise God. And he's got to impart his knowing to us. Now, the good news is, how many know that God doesn't wait for us to be perfect and to do everything perfect to use us? Everybody better say thank God for that. Praise God. Or none of us will ever be used. So God is still using imperfect vessels. He's really, what he enables him to use us is our availability. Amen. And it's pretty amazing. Lest we think that we're hot shots, let's remember that the moment after Peter said one of his greatest things he ever said before Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," within a minute later, Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan." And so we just have to make sure that we stay humble. And we allow the Word and the Spirit to do through our walk with God every day, then we're enabling through that place, we can actually be used by God in a greater way as the Spirit of God comes upon us, leads us, and guides us. And we are used to be able to realize what the Scripture says and then act on it in the power of the Spirit. Can I get an amen? Now, tonight, we want to look at the second and the third tongue. Amen. And the second tongue is tongues unto men. I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's look at verses 21 and 22. It says, in it, in the law, it is written. Now, this is quoting from Isaiah 28. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not for them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, verse 22, I want you to focus on the first half of this verse. Wherefore tongues, or this tongue unto men, are for a sign, or supernatural sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. This tongue is for a supernatural sign to its hearers. Amen. And this is actually what happened on the day of Pentecost. So what we want to do is turn back to Acts chapter 2 and read briefly here this encounter of them being filled. We begin in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now notice, they're here in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. The Jewish men had to make that they had to make that journey to present themselves under the law unto God during the Feast of Pentecost. And during this time in Jerusalem, during this feast, it would be overflowing with Jewish believers who had traveled from other parts and other countries to descend upon to present themselves before God in the temple. Praise God. And now, when this was noised abroad, in other words, heard the loud noise, the multitude came together. What loud noise? Them praying in tongues. That's what they heard. They heard what happened in the upper room. And they were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" In other words, those that came out of the upper room were Galileans. But you're about to hear this or find this out. The people that were in the streets, they were from all these different places. And what they were hearing was hearing their language being spoken by those that did not know that language. Praise the Lord. So it goes on and says, how we hear every man, verse 8, in our own tongue or native language when we were born. And so all of these, look at all these places here. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read through them or butcher them either. Praise the Lord. And if we go down to verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, do we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God? One translation says, we hear them telling in our languages about the great things that God has done. Now notice, it goes on in verse 12 and it says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what meaneth this? In other words, this was the supernatural sign. In Jerusalem at that time, all these different people from these different countries, they heard men that did not know their native language speak perfectly to them about the great things that God had done. And God did this as a supernatural sign. We see this is what the scripture tells us. This second kind of tongue or gift of tongues is used by God as a supernatural sign to get the hearer's attention. It got their attention. Now you're going to find this out as we continue to read. So what we need to understand is this. This gift of tongue as well as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back. There's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. 7 out of the 9 are under the Old Testament. The 2 that are distinctive to the New Testament are tongues and interpretation of tongues. And the reason that is because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this being the Holy Spirit dispensation. Yes, yes. Amen. So all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are listed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 3 do something. They're the power gifts. They're the word of wisdom. They are special faith, work of miracles, and gifts of healings. 3 reveal something. They are called the revelation gifts. They are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning the spirits. 3 are vocal gifts, utterance gifts. They say something. They are prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues. The last 2 are distinctive only and only found in the New Testament because the Holy Spirit had not been given or poured out prior to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's important that we understand this. Now, this gift of tongues, this tongue unto men, praise God, where God is supernaturally speaking to men through people that they don't actually know that language, but the people that hear it are understanding it and know it. Amen. And it's given as a sign. It's as a supernatural sign that God is real, that God is alive. What we need to understand is this gift of tongues as well as the gifts of the Holy Spirit, listen to what I'm getting ready to say, are all for signs. Everybody say signs. To get people's attention, pointing them to God and that there's a real and living God. His name is Jesus Christ. So, and here's the reason why. So that the person is more open to hearing the gospel by which they can be saved by. Those signs and wonders alone don't get people saved. I know we think they do, but they don't get people saved. That's not what their purpose is. They're for signs. They get the people's attention. Just like word of wisdom, word of knowledge gets a person's attention that God is talking to them. That's why we must know the gospel so that we can actually throw the net and lead a person to receive Christ. It's not just enough that they know that God is real, but they must be led to a place to receive Christ. Those signs are important because it lets them know that God is real and God is talking to them supernaturally. Amen. But it is the hearing of the gospel that gets them saved. Now, if you're there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 12 again, let's pick up reading there. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what means this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So there's a whole group here that understands something supernaturally is heard, then that you're always going to have, listen, I'm saying this because you're always going to have mockers that are going to try to discount what God is doing, or it's going to be the devil in the crowd. You're always going to have some heckler or the devil in the crowd most of the time. So you're just going to have to, don't let that mess you up. Realize the power of God is being manifested. And the ones that will believe, you need to be aware that God has said and showed himself something, and you can't stop because there's a heckler there. So notice, it goes on. Notice what Peter did. Verse 14, and Peter standing up with the 11 lift up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah and all ye that dwell in at Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken unto my words. Everybody say my words. His words of he's going to preach the gospel. The words that he's about to share is a gospel message. In other words, he knew it wasn't enough they're hearing us speak the wonderful things of God. That's wonderful. It's a sign and it's a wonder. But now he took advantage of that. And he's doing that in the preaching of the gospel. It helps us to know that we're going to have to do the same thing. But he explains what happens. He says, verse 15, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing that it's but the third hour. So he didn't say they weren't drunk. He just says they weren't drunk as you suppose. In other words, they were under the influence, but not of wine or intoxicating drink. Amen. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young man shall see visions, and your old man shall dream dreams, and upon my servants and my handmaids I will pour my spirit, and they shall in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show signs in heaven above and signs on earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the notable day of the Lord comes. Look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on, he's talking about the gospel. He's pointing them to what they need to do with what has just been happened to them. Now, Peter didn't stop there, but notice he started with hearkening to my words. And then, as we stopped in verse 21, he tells them the purpose of it. It's for them to realize that they can be saved by Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't stop there, but he continued to preach. We're going to skip ahead to verse 37. Now, he preached the whole time in these verses in between here, but we'll pick up on verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they heard what? They heard the gospel that Peter just preached. They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And then they gladly received the word. How many know when you receive the word? What does that mean? You got saved. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Look it up. Being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of God. So having gladly received his word, we're baptized the same day, and about we're at it 3,000 souls. So we see here this gift of tongues is supernaturally given by the Holy Spirit and is for a sign. And you could say it like this. It is for a sign. It points to Jesus, that he's alive, just like all the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit is called the dinner bell of salvation. gifts of the Holy Ghost are the dinner bell of salvation. Amen. We mustn't forget that. The purpose is for a sign. Amen. It's to draw attention back to God. But the gospel, it makes their hearts open and more receptive to God. It didn't to everybody, but it did to many of those. And then we don't stop there. The gospel must be preached so that people can actually put their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Now, last but not least tonight, with the time that we have left, we're going to look at the third tongue, and that's tongues unto the church. This supernatural tongue is used in public worship. This tongue, with the gift of interpretation of tongues, is for the edification of the church. Edification means building up. Having to know that when God, one of the things that you're going to find in closing tonight, one of the things that God had to get the Corinthian church, and it's for us as well, the church to understand the operations of the gifts are to be used to in the right way to edify the church. And this gift in particular, the gift of the tongues unto the church with the gift of interpretation of tongues is for the edification of the church. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4 and 5. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. This is the private devotional side of it that we talked about earlier, the first kind. When that's included with verse 2, okay? But he that prophesieth edifies the church. Now, verse 5, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Do you see that? So, in other words, the scripture is teaching us. Now, first of all, notice in verse 5, Paul said, I would that you all speak with tongues. So, this, again, any person that ever tells you it's not God's will for every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, this scripture right here, along with others, makes it very clear it's God's will that all believers be filled and speak with others. He said, I will that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Now, why did he say that? Because prophecy is given, the scripture tells us, for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay? It's given for those three things. So, the reason why that's important is because the scripture, without me going line by line and reading this whole chapter, basically what Paul is saying is this. Tongues, in its simplest sense, unto the first one, unto God, is private devotional time. Okay? For you and your private devotional life with God. Amen. You don't know how. God could give you the interpretation of it. And if you need to know, God would show you. But you don't have to know. You're praying to God and you're praying that out to God. That is for you. And you know what? We could stand here tonight and just stand at our chairs and together lift our hands and worship to God and begin to worship. Sing a song in our understanding. Sing a song in other tongues. It would be fine to be able to do that. That would not need an interpretation. However, in order for, here's the purpose of public assembly. When you come together, God said he wants everyone to be edified. And if all we did was speak with tongues and there was no way of us under, in other words, in a public assembly, the giving of this third tongue in public worship would be for a use to that it would have to have an interpretation so that everybody could understand what was being said in tongues. Does that make sense? It would be used in a public assembly where one person would speak in tongues like many times Pastor Debbie does and I or herself even interpret it. Amen. So let's talk about this again. He that, I would that you all speak with tongues, but you rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesy than he that speak with tongues. Now, a lot of times people will stop right there and say, well, see, it's just better that we prophesy instead of speak with other tongues. Or Paul took a dim view on speaking with other tongues. No, he didn't. He's saying in public worship, it would be better that a person, if they, unless there was an interpreter to interpret it, it would be better that they spoke to themselves privately and let a prophecy in our known language be given so everybody could understand it. That's what he's saying. Now, I mean, we could go through this verse by verse, but we don't have time to do that tonight, but I encourage you to read that. Amen. So here it tells us this tongues unto the church, needs the interpretation. And the interpretation equals prophecy, which is giving for the edification, exhortation, and comfort of the church. Amen. And that's what's important, that the church be edified. This is a gift that God would use. And you know what? The truth is, say it like this. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. This tongues and interpretation of tongues equal prophecy. Prophecy in its simplest form. Its simplest form is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Don't get this prophecy mixed up with prophecy like in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament, the book of Revelation. This prophecy is in its simplest form is for the edification of the church. It's not prediction. It's not prediction. It's not foretelling something. It's for another purpose. It's very important because God wants his church to be edified. It's very important or God wouldn't have given it. So tongues and you could say tongues, let me define tongues here. It's inspired utterance in a tongue or a language unknown to its speaker. Does that make sense? I'm going to say it again. Tongues is inspired utterance. What do you mean inspired utterance? It's given by the Holy Ghost. Inspired utterance, amen, in a language unknown to its speaker. The interpretation is the giving forth of that which was said in or by the Spirit. Notice it's called the interpretation of tongues, not translation. It's the interpretation of tongues because it gives the overall meaning of it. It's not a translation of the meaning. It's the showing forth of what was said in the Spirit. And it's equal prophecy is for the building up of the church. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4 again, let's read it. It says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. Now notice, tongues with interpretation of tongues, this tongue we're talking about, equals prophecy. Equals prophecy. Praise God, in its simplest form. So, we see this in the Scripture. Praise God. And let's put up verse 3 if we could, guys. And you will, I should have said this. I've been quoting this. But here you see in verse 3, he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So, tongues and interpretation of tongues equal prophecy. And this is why it's important. Praise God. And this is what it does. Now, listen, while every spirit-filled believer will experience the first tongue, the private devotional and fellowship with the Lord for its various uses and purposes in our lives, every believer will experience the first kind of tongue. A tongue unto God, where it's for your private devotional side. While every believer will experience that, every believer may or may not experience or be used in the other two kinds of tongues. I am used on occasions as the Spirit wills in this third tongue. I have never personally ever had the tongues unto men before. Let me give you a testimony of that. I actually heard to, but wasn't even planned on to. I heard a testimony today of a gentleman that while he was incarcerated for 3 years and waiting to be paroled, he met a man in prison. He was in a he was actually in a facility that had a maximum security part. And when his part was released, because he actually was up, he was in prison for 3 to 15 years. He had a pretty serious and egregious crime, but he came up for parole in the third year. And he actually got out. That's not the point of my story. Point of my story was that in their recreational time, in their rec time, he met a gentleman from another nation, playing actually soccer. Long story short, this gentleman that I'm talking to you about, he was not born again, and but the person that he met from this other nation was and began to witness to him. Over a period of time, he saw that this man said and did things that only God, it was assigned to him, said and did things that were by the Spirit, that he knew that, hey, this cannot be, this, where did this guy get this from? So it really got his attention. Now, what the story that he tells, he eventually gets saved, but the story that he tells is there in the outside, and this day, this gentleman, he didn't know what he was doing, but what he was actually doing was he began speaking in other tongues. And he did it quite loudly. And he says, you know, you got to realize that you got in these prisons, you got different groups. You got a Muslim group, you got different groups, you got a Christian group, you got all of these different groups, and all of them are not friendly toward one another. What he says, when he began to speak in other tongues, he said, I didn't know what he was doing. And he says, it startled me, so I just, because I knew he wasn't flaky, but I didn't know what he was doing, he said, all of a sudden, he got these attention of these Muslim people that were there. And it says there was one man in particular comes, runs up, pulls his beanie, pulls it off, and he says, you are speaking Arabic. How do you know Arabic? And he says, I don't know Arabic. Later he says, I don't, but God does. He says, well, what he was telling them was declaring the works of God and that God was here. The man came to him and asked him all kind of questions, got down on his hands and knees and says, I have to have what you have because you have the real God. And they led him to the Lord right there. So that's an illustration of tongues unto men. Praise God. In a setting outside of the day of Pentecost. I could read, and I have many others I could read. I actually heard that one today, and so it's fresh on my mind. Now, let's turn and read this in closing, several verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and verse 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit, these are talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which would include this gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Everybody say profit. All the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, or they call manifestations. They're showing forth of God's power. They're given, it says, to be beneficial to others. See, and then verse 11, it says, but all these works, the one same self spirit and the same self spirit. In other words, they're 9 gifts, 9 manifestations. It's the same Holy Spirit dividing to every man severally as he wills. Notice the gifts of the Spirit we don't control. I realize there are lots of teachings out there about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some very good. But many times you come across ones and the Spirit, listen, let the Spirit use you. You don't use the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit uses you. Praise God. And by praying much in the private devotional side of tongues, you will get used to how the Holy Spirit deals with you and speaks to you. But you got to pray much in tongues. You should pray in tongues every day. Every day. Every day. Notice the gifts of the Spirit. God says the Spirit divides to every man severally as He wills. He gives them as He wills. Our job is to understand this is some great rules for being used by God in the gifts. Let me give you a couple examples. Chapter 14, verses 12 and verse 26. For as much as you are zealous for spiritual gifts, which we should be, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Notice God wants His church. He wants people to be built up. He wants people to be edified. If this ain't about us showing off or saying, look at me, or look at gifts I got, or, you know, look how God uses me. You know what? That may happen from time to time in our immaturity, but if we stay down that path, we'll be shipwrecked by the devil. And we will stop being used by God because we can't play with God's glory. So as much as you are zealous for spiritual gifts, and listen, we should be zealous for desirous of them. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. See, this is talking about the gifts, uses, and purposes. Now, verse 26, it says, let all things be done unto edifying. Notice, whatever is done in context, not just the nine gifts of the Spirit, but how things operate in public worship and how we deal with others and do things. Let things be done unto edifying. If we will remember this, then it will help us tremendously in allowing our lives to be used by the Spirit of God. Notice, God, number one, He wants us to be desirous of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit. He wants us to know about them, to desire them, but he also wants us to know they're given to every man to profit withal. So you're given those to profit others by. Not to give you the big head, but to profit others by. Amen. And to build others up. Praise God. And God divides servily. In other words, those nine gifts of them, He says, I'll divide servily to every believer as I will. It's God's will. You know, I pray about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know how God uses me. And you know, the truth is, I'm open to all of them, but I also know enough by praying in the Holy Spirit how God wants to use me. There are times, you know, God used Pastor Debbie a lot in gifts of healings. Amen. And wonderful. And so this is why I defer to her. And a lot of times when we have things we're praying for people, unless God supernaturally gives me direction, I just defer to that because that gift will a lot of times just flow there. Now, any believer can lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's a different thing. But as we learn how God wants to use us, we should pray for them all, and we should desire them. But we should know how God would want to use us. And there could be times, you know, that manifests. Not too long ago, a person came up to me in the church and going through the line. And this is special faith. I don't operate special faith very often, but I did that day. And a person came through the line, and they began to tell me. I know they had a surgery recently. We hadn't seen them, and they were telling me about this. And they said to me, they stuck out their hand, and they said, Pastor Chris, look what's happened to me. And the hand was going like this. And the doctor said, I got this. And the Spirit of God came upon me, and I grabbed her hand with her saying, I know it shocked her. I said, get out in the name of Jesus. I said something like that. I really don't remember exactly what I said, but I commanded it to leave and not return. It just came that quick. It hit me. Just like I didn't wait. I just grabbed it, and I know I startled her, but I held on her enough that it didn't knock her over or nothing like that. I commanded it to go and not return. You know, the week later she comes in, she waited at the end of the service, came right up here and stood right here and said, and I forgot all about it. See, I forgot all about it. I forgot all about it. She says, look, Pastor Chris, it's all gone. It's gone. It's gone. And I said, yes, and it'll stay gone for the glory of God. So one other scripture verse that we could look at is this. Is verse, chapter 14, verse 1. I know I must finish. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now notice the reason why it says that, number the rather that you prophesy, is because prophecy was given for the edifying of the entire church. Having to know words of wisdom and words of knowledge usually best one person. But prophecy, inspired utterance in a known tongue, edifies the whole church. Everybody can get in on that. So notice he said that rather that you do this. But here's the key. Desire spiritual gifts and follow after love. I just did it in the reverse order. Now, we should all desire. See, it's not. Let me. You want us to see more manifestations within and outside the walls of this church. We want it both, don't we? Don't we? Okay, then here's what we have to do. We have to each desire it. He's not writing. See, something helped me years ago that Brother Hagin taught. Brother Hagin said this. He says, you know, you think that Paul was writing to a pastor. He's writing to a church. Even though it was a pastor there at the church, he was writing to the church to desire spiritual gifts. It is not the pastor's job alone to desire spiritual gifts. It is the church's responsibility, each member, to desire them. As we covet them, as we desire them, then it gives God the invitation to do individual and corporately more of what he wants to do. Because he goes where he's welcomed. He goes where faith puts him, church. Thank you, Betsy, so much. And then, last but not least, notice the thing that it says needs to be the motivating factor of it all. Love. Let me tell you something. Love needs to be the motivating factor of the use of every gift. If it's not, it ain't gonna last long. It needs to be the motivating gift. In other words, what I do, is it helping people? Is it your heart, God? Is it what you want? And it is your will, if we know it is, that it will help people. But our desire is really loving God, loving people, and wanting to help people. If we keep them in that order, then we'll be used by God the way he wants to. And we close the door on the devil. People will be helped. The church will be built up. And the kingdom of God will grow because people will be added to the church. These are the three kinds of tongues. And I hope by us understanding them, then when people, your dear friends, family, people at workplaces, you know, growing up, being a meat manager for 15 years, I met many wonderful people and many wonderful believers, one of which was, you know, wonderful believers, but believers that were taught by that particular denomination that tongues won't for today. Or tongues were done away with, or they're of the devil, or different stuff like that. And I forget one person said, well, you know, my pastor told me, they were a wonderful believer. We talked about the Lord all the time. My pastor told me that, you know, tongues were just under the Old Testament. I said, well, that's an easy one to figure out. I said, you know your Bible. I spoke by name. I said, now, I'm not trying to be mean or smart. We had a good relationship. I said, you know your Bible. Let me ask you something. Where does the Bible talk about speaking in tongues at? She says, New Testament. I said, maybe your pastor might be wrong on that one. He is. You know. And so, you know, it's not about being right or being wrong. It's understanding, because not understanding the three kinds, so many people get into error and get in confusion about it, and then what the people are not up on, they're down on, and they resist or push away. And so, and then of course, we don't have time to talk about the misuses that have been numbers of them that kind of push people away. Let's just realize that they're real, genuine, and God, if God wants every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he and in tongues is a gift the Holy Spirit gives, and it's for our benefit, we should want what God wants. I can tell you, it's benefited, I don't know of anything outside of salvation that's benefited my life more than being able to pray in the Holy Ghost on a daily basis. So, Father, we thank you tonight. As we leave this place, we leave encouraged, strengthened, because of the will of God, the Word of God, and the truths that are revealed in your Word concerning. We are so grateful tonight for the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, the tongues, Lord, that He gives to benefit, to profit the ones unto you. Oh, we are so grateful that private devotional give the ones unto men that are for a supernatural sign, and for those that, and then tongues unto the church for the edification, the upbuilding of the church, to further it, to encourage each person that helped and changed and strengthened. So, Father, we thank you tonight. And yet we stand at a place where we realize that every person in their walk with you is at a different place. And Lord, if there's those here tonight that have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, but are desirous to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues,